The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. I can feel it. I can just feel this is the first big weekend of college football. I am pumped, psyched, geeked, ready to roll. Lots of games. High school stuff gets underway tonight. I'm going to go storm a couple sidelines. Got a great guest today, Petros Papadakis. He will be doing the color on the ASU-Wyoming game. So Petros will be with us here momentarily. Opening comments are brought to you, as always, by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Jeff Mishi called me last night, the president of Desert Financial, and chatted for about an hour. He's doing great. Got all sorts of cool things going on. I could do the whole show on Shohei Ohtani's dog throwing out the first pitch last night. I could do the whole show on Shohei Ohtani inking a global trading card deal with Topps, for those of you that collect, which I do too. There's just been a lot of interesting business of sports stuff this week. You know, the NFL selling private equity of 10%. That's interesting to me. There's some people I know that want to be in that space, may get into that space. It's just interesting. I'm hearing things around town that are interesting, like the Cardinals' way of doing business is changing a little bit in a good way. Hearing that around town. Wasn't mean that they were bad in the past, just means they were not great. How's that? So, you know, the on-the-field stuff last night was... Again, if you don't like baseball, that's a you problem. If you don't want to watch what the Diamondbacks are doing every night, I can't help you there. I can't. Even if you're not a fan of the game, if you like drama, if you want to take some time and just figure it out, like what they're doing has not happened here in Phoenix before. It hasn't. Not 2001. 2001, I was there every day. They were not as dramatic as this group at all. A lot of times, and I'm all about pitching, it would be Randy and Kerr just stomping people. This deal, it's Corbin Carroll, who's been scuffling all season. If there's ever a person that I would suggest for you to look at, or any of us, that you're down, you're feeling like, you know what, I blow. I can't do what it is that I've been meant to put on this earth to do. I'm just not very good. And you're in a rut. Go look at Corbin Carroll. All that that dude has been doing is grinding this whole year. And in that sport where you get four or five chances at most every night to try to figure it out, and night after night after night, he was 0 for 4. He was in the 190 range with his batting average. And he's rookie of the year. He's an all-star. And he's just not good at all. At all. And people are wondering, you know, should you take him out of the lineup? Should you send him down to the farm? And every day, grinding. Not every day in the lineup, because there's been a plethora of outfielders. So he's got to be ready to deliver in the pinch, literally. Defensively, was he as good as last year? Well, there's been some stuff early in the year where I didn't think he was. But here we are last night with two outs, bottom of the eighth inning, and he's at the plate. He's already hit one home run. He mashed it. That may have been the farthest home run ball I've seen Corbin Carroll hit. And he crushes this ball for a grand slam. And I think Steve Berthume, I thought I heard him say Corbin Carroll is back. Well, actually, he's been back. I wouldn't say that last night was the exclamation of him being back. I'd say in about the last two, 3 weeks, Corbin Carroll has been back and back in a big way. So if he's going to continue like this, and you're supposed to get Ketel Marte back, and you're supposed to get Christian Walker back, Gabby Moreno, we'll see. Like, there's four or five guys on this team. I think there's two that fans have given up on. You may be in this camp. I'm not. You've given up on Paul Sewald. I haven't. I think there's a different way to go about using him. Justin Martinez was filthy last night in closing that game out against the Mets. Jordan Montgomery. Of the two, Sewald or Montgomery, I'm closer to giving up on Montgomery. I just am. I think that some of the stuff he said where his agent at the time Scott Boros screwed him. It was a bad negotiation. I think it sat there in his head this year. Like, man, I should have got. I don't know. You're getting 1 year, $25 million if you hit all the numbers. This is the year where you should be able to, but he has not been good. And I don't know if he's going to get straightened out. I would hope, and I don't say that very often because it sounds like I'm cheering, but I don't like to see somebody circling the drain. I don't like to hear this is another Madison Bumgarner signing that's not going to work out. I don't like that. So they're just fun. Like Ryan Nelson is pitching today. And Ryan Nelson, early in the season, was like, okay, I've seen this movie before. 4 2/3, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts. Brent Strom coming out, covering his mouth, ripping him a new one. He barely makes it out. Now it's 6, 7. I don't know. Is it me? Is it I'm getting long in the tooth? A starting pitcher going 6 innings is now like a big deal. Like, I don't know. How about 7 or 8? Every game? So they have the Mets today trying to win another series. And Jock Peterson, another home run last night. So there's just a lot of good with the Dodgers coming here tomorrow for a long weekend. This is what we live for. For years, we would be sitting here in August and the Diamondbacks weren't good and the Cardinals weren't good and ASU was just mediocre. And we're sitting here in August saying, gosh almighty, we're going to have a dreadful winter. We're just going to. And instead, this year, I look at this team and say, why not them for going back to the World Series and winning it? Better team. Go by position. Go by depth. Better team. I'm not wrong on this. This is water. This is not Kool-Aid. So the NFL team. NFL team is better. They're still not even close to being there defensively, but they're better. I think they're a team that could be one of those that's sitting there circling the drain at 6 and 8, and somehow they find a way to be 9 and 8 and make the postseason. I don't see where the NFC West is everything that it was a year ago, outside of San Francisco, and they've had some stuff, just contract stuff, which everybody has this day and age. So that's going on with the Cardinals. And then, ASU and U of A get started this weekend. Expectations have never been higher for U of A in all the years I've been here. And I wasn't here for Desert Swarm, so just so we're straight up. And they should roll all over New Mexico. Watch New Mexico last week. Yeah, they have one game under their belt. They're not very good. ASU, I don't think ASU is going to beat Wyoming. It's going to be a close game. Close game. Well, Petros Papadakos here shortly. I'm going to be watching Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I'm going to be watching Florida, Miami of Florida. I got so much college football to watch. And all the stuff around college football, like this weekend, there's a bubble in college football. Like we have with March Madness. You know, we talk about Bobby Hurley's team is on the bubble. Well, in college football, there is now a bubble for the playoff. And there's one team that's already in that bubble, and it's Florida State. And they play against Boston College on Sunday. And Florida State is one of those teams, or Monday, Florida State's one of those teams that you kind of love to root against. I'm not going to say hate. I don't have any ties down there other than I know Mike Norvell, who was here. But Florida State last year, if I remember correctly, was in a bowl game against Georgia. They decided to not show up and they had 60 put on them. And all they've done is complain about being in the ACC, trying to get out of the ACC. So Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, probably sitting over there on one side saying, boy, guys, you know, go show Georgia Tech. And the other side's like, I have to believe that's going on. So there's a bubble, and if Florida State loses, then they are off the bubble with 2 losses already, in my opinion. Things could change in this new world of the college football playoff. That's what it's going to be like. Sunday night, I'm watching USC-LSU. Not even close to anything else I want to check out. So, yeah, it's fun when you've got great – I think I'm going to do the double Saturday. Go to the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, take the rail over to the ASU game. I think I'm going to do that double. That's an easy double. It's what we do in the sports world. Outside of that, let's get over to Petros Papadakos after this. Petros is doing the ASU-Wyoming game on FS1 with Chris Myers. That is coming up next. Petros Papadakis, FS1, is going to be in the booth on Saturday night when the Sun Devils in year two under Kenny Dillingham are taking on Wyoming. He'll be with the veteran Chris Myers. Of course, Petros, if you're familiar in Southern California, as I was through the years growing up out there, Petros is must listen to with Matt Money Smith. He joins us for a few minutes. Let's start with Kenny Dillingham and just what do you see Petros year two here in Tempe with ASU?
Well, I saw the team early last year, and obviously I did a couple of those early games. That's not obvious, but it was obvious that they had some serious problems right off the bat, you know, especially up front. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They got beat up on the O-line in camp, and then almost immediately when they took the field, and it was really hard to get, and Kenny and the offensive coordinator weren't seeing eye to eye. That was probably a product of the problems that they were having injury-wise. You know, there's not a lot of things you could do. I mean, they had Conyers under center later in the season and Scadaboo doing all that stuff. So I kind of watched it collapse without any depth early last year and on the heels of the bowl ban and all the different things that went on. So I look at this year's team, and of course, hope always springs eternal before anybody's played any games. But I look at this year's team and I see a lot more depth. I mean, a lot more depth. Guys that they want to get on the field, guys that they're eager to see how they're going to mesh with the team, and more options offensively on the perimeter and in the backfield. And I'm excited about Levin. I think he's a great competitor and sort of excited to see what it's like when he hits the field. Though this will be a big challenge this game, I see a deeper, more purposeful program from top to bottom than last year. And I think Kenny is doing a really good job.
What's it like when you were at USC, you were on some teams that weren't good, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm the captain of the worst football team in USC history. Okay. At least before the one that got Clay Helton fired recently. They were pretty bad.
So when you're on a team that is picked to finish last, as the Sun Devils are.
Well, we weren't in the top five that year and then had a precipitous fall.
That's even worse.
I know.
So he's got a team that's picked nothing, and he has played that about as hard as he can so far. And I look at him. I don't know the Big 12 inside and out. I watch it through the years. I feel like, as you said, they're much improved. But from a coaching point of view, or when you're on a team as a player and the team is not expected to do much, what is that like?
Well, it's hard to have perspective from my point of view, because when I played, we didn't, you know, have this. You know, you really could ignore the world. You know, you could live in more of a bubble. You know, of course, there was the newspaper and radio shows and all of those things, especially the newspaper, was much more prevalent. But at the same time, it's hard to have the perspective of young people today with the portal open, with a number next to everybody's name as far as money goes, which, you know, that's like pro football. That didn't exist when I played college football. The rules where they actually protect you and in camp and can't have 3-a-days in full pads for 3 weeks straight, that stuff changed. So it's hard to have that kind of perspective as an old player. I would imagine that it's not very different as long as everybody's buying into the message of the head coach and his staff, mm-hmm. and kind of locking arms. You know, some teams like Florida State, right? They picked to be one of the best teams in the country and they just lost their first game in Ireland. And not only that, they got pushed around. And where do they go from there? You know, they had great expectations. Will they be able to lock arms, go forward and have a productive season? Or will the deflation of that loss destroy their spirit, right? That's up to Kenny. If they lose this game, which they very well could, yeah. You know, Wyoming is solid. you know, and has a complete identity. And I don't know if Arizona State has that yet. You know, if they lose a game, will they be able to lock arms and continue to march forward and try to proceed and grow? I really got to be honest with you, like Kenny Dillingham. From when I met him, I wasn't very sure he was offensive coordinator at Oregon. I knew his story. But watching over the years and listening to his press conferences, I always learned something different about the sport, about a way to look at something, a way to say something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's a really interesting and talented coach. And I hope that he can persevere through some pretty tough circumstances in Tempe.
Yeah, he's kind of a goof, Petros. I mean, I really enjoy Kenny, but there's just stuff that will, when we're at Big 12 Media Day and he just starts going off about the showgirls or whatever, which I like. I don't need X's and O's around 18 to 21-year-olds 24-7, 365. When he challenges the offensive lineman to a punting contest to fair catch the punt or not. You know, there's just things that seem like very basic. But here in Tempe, just seeing this program through the years, it has been a revolving door. And all the stuff that went on with the NCAA investigation, Kenny walked into arguably one of the worst jobs in America. As bad as U of A was when Kevin Sumlin left, and now that got turned around, Kenny's was actually worse because there was stuff that was behind door number 5, door number 8. And so I think his looseness, the affability of Kenny is something that's refreshing, actually.
Well, and he understands the place, you know. I mean, it's not like he's trying to fake a Southern accent, you know, in Oxford or anything. It's true, you know, he's from there. So I think that's an advantage for him. And I think, you know, and this goes for any college football coach, you know, or really any walk of life, I guess, is it would, no matter if you're a really strict disciplinarian or a goofy guy that got hurt playing high school football or, you know, whatever you are, you know, the most impact you're going to have on young people, and that is still the sport, you're still teaching, you know, as much as, you know, it's changed in a lot of weird ways recently. The more you're yourself, the more you're honest about who you are to the players, I think the more that resonates. You know what I mean? Especially in today's day and age, because there's so much BS flying around and there's so much push and pull every direction on the young people, that if you have somebody that you trust, quote unquote, you know, or kind of, you know, can relate to as a human being, as opposed to just a weird entity when your heart beats fast when he walks by you or looks at you, like we used to feel about our head coaches, you know, sometimes. I think it's a positive thing, as long as it's genuine. And to me, Kenny comes off as about as genuine as you can be. So I think he's got that part of it checked off. It's just a matter of, you know, you can only win games if you win games, right? You know, you have to have something go right at the end of a game and get that feeling and hold on to it and turn it into something. And I think that can happen. And I think this team will win a lot more games than projected. I don't know if they'll go to a bowl, but I do think that they are. I think that there's going to be market improvement from last year.
Petros Papa.
There has to be.
Yeah, no, there has to be. I would agree with you. Like, you know, an Independence Bowl would be a celebration over here, where in a lot of cases it's a failure.
Oh, sure.
It would be anything. Petros Papadakis will be doing the game with Chris Myers, FS1. Petros Papadakis with us for a couple of minutes. Before I get you out of here, where do you fall on the world is coming to an end in college football versus, yeah, we're right in the middle of it, there's still more to come, or this is as bad as it's going to get, or this is as good as it's going to get? Where are you at on that? Because when I come across people, they are all different camps about the NIL, the conference changes, the realignment, all that stuff. Where do you fall?
Well, I mean, I think the NCAA has lost its teeth and its power. And, you know, for a long time, college football has been this awkward marriage with these institutions of higher education, you know, where people go to school. And It happened very honestly about 100 years ago with a guy named Red Grange, you know, the popularity of college football from coast to coast, and writers traveling to a small school and writing about a guy, you know, and that created the popularity of pro football. Red Grange went to the Decatur Staleys, who became the Chicago Bears, yep, and went on a barnstorming tour. So, you know, it was never, you know, a really natural marriage when college football became slowly and then like this, a moneymaker. You know, they were always making money, but they could kind of put it behind them and shake hands and say, give us more money. Isn't this great? You know, fear the fork or whatever, fight on, you know, go from hook them, you know, any of them, you know. Yeah. And now, because of DVRs and because of the live sports, and that's the only thing people will watch the commercials for, the revenue has become ridiculous in about the last 10 years. And the pile of money they used to hide behind them is now, you know, it looks like a skyscraper behind them. And you just can't have that, hide that anymore. You have to pay the players. You have to do all these different things. You have to give the players more power. And, you know, it is unsavory in a lot of ways for those of us that grew up with something different for decades and decades and decades. But there's too much money to be made not to have, you know, and in this case, it's the TV networks come in and carve it up, you know, and make it different. And a lot of it sucks, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, you know, I've been calling games since 2004 nationally. And I mean, when a guy used to get peeled back and blocked and blown off his feet, you know, we'd play it five times and be like, look at that sweet ass crackback block. And, you know, now it's like, oh my God, the violence, you know, there's a penalty, throw him out of the game, you know? So we've adjusted to that, right? You know, so it college football is constant adjustment and constant change. I think we're headed we have a 2-minute warning, right? We're headed to a pro football model, mm-hmm, if we don't already have it. I mean, they might even move the hash marks. I don't think they'll do that. But, I mean, they'll change the kickoff. I know they'll probably do that, you know. So, you know, a lot of that's tough to watch. But if you want to be involved in the sport, which I am, I guess, you know, you got to adjust to change, because that's really the only constant when it comes to this game. You know, I don't know how long Arizona State's going to be in the Big 12, or SC's going to be in the Big, you know, those things, you know, they'll just probably be a big super league, you know, or something like that, which is unfortunate because it boxes out teams like Wyoming and Oregon State and, you know, a lot of the stuff we've grown up with. So I don't know where it's going, but probably to a more expensive NFL looking model.
Do you, when the ball is kicked off, do you still, you obviously love it because you're doing the games, but do you look at the game itself and say, I don't know, I'm seeing too much change, and gambling has not been addressed here. So I'm just,
oh yeah,
you know, if, when that's going on, when you watch the game itself, I'm not saying the two are interrelated, for a lot of people it is, but when you watch the game itself on a Saturday night, is it, this is so great, I'm here, I hear the band, I've got a full stadium, yes, this is what I do, great. But the quality of the game is not what it once was, or is it better?
I don't, you know, to me, it's still football. You know, you still have to, you know, have the will to go out there and fight with other guys and make it work. And that still happens when the game starts, right? So that part of it, I don't have a problem with. I enjoy the games for what it is. You know, I do a radio show every day,
yep,
which is very self aggrandizing, you know, self-obsessed in many ways. And, you know, you're talking about yourself and your perspective. And this is what I, you know, it's a 4-hour show. And the people that are listening to hear you. Nobody watching the game is like, I'm going to watch that game because Petros is on it. You know what I mean? I watch a lot of the games on mute. You know, the director, if you know anything about football, the director tells you exactly what's happening. We have pictures. So I always try to remember that as a broadcaster, that, you know, we have to talk. If we're talking, we have to talk about what the picture, what's on the screen, right? If you're talking about something else that's not on the screen, that's why sometimes I like doing the games in the studio, because you're just looking at the screen, you know, as opposed to being distracted by the hat thing on the, you know, the all the different games on the big screen and the girls in this crowd and the band and all that stuff that you talk about. I'm able to take myself out of the game when we do the game and try to tell the stories of the players, you know what I mean? And try to really celebrate the players and what they're doing. And like a radio show or a podcast or anything, you know, the game, if you're working with good people, we always have good people at Fox. I feel like the game has to have a beginning and a middle and an end, you know, no matter what, even if it's a, even if it's the best game you ever called and it's really exciting and it goes in overtime, or if it's 50 to nothing, it's got to have those elements. And, you know, without talking about yourself too much or saying where we had dinner last night or any of this stuff, you know, celebrate the guys, talk about where they're from, talk about their high school, you know, that's what I try to do. You know, also I was a short yardage running back, so I'm not going to do a great job breaking down, you know, I mean, I know about routes and the pass game and I understand the sport, but I'm not going to, you know, John Gruden, X's and O's, horse 2Y banana people to death either. You know, that's just not my style. So really, I just like to celebrate the players. So once the game starts, it's very easy to do that because the players are out there, you know, giving effort. And that's what makes it fun for me, I guess.
That's good stuff. I appreciate your time and your insights, as always, when you're on the air. And you'll be in.
My pleasure, Brad. Thank you.
Yeah, you'll be at the stadium on Saturday night. You're not going to be in studio.
No, we are going to be in studio. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I will not be there. No, I will be at the Fox studio calling the game with Myers in L.A. I know a lot of people don't like that, but that is what we're going to be doing. I don't have a choice. But I will say, being in the Arizona State booth at least 24 times in my life, it's a lot further away than we are. Well, a lot of the times I feel closer to the plane right. that I'm going to be on.
Right. It's coming at us. There's a play. There's ants running down there. I get what you're saying. Thanks, Petros. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you. Fear the fork. Good luck, everybody.